Matt and Ben playing at the Sherry in North Hollywood, July 31st to September 5th, 2026. Welcome to the podcast, Genevieve, and Spring. Tell us a little bit about your new show.
Hello, I am Genevieve Lerner, and this is my co-producer.
Spring Farrar. I'm also an actor and producer on the show.
And yes, we are producing and starring in the show, Matt and Ben. This was all Spring's idea, so I'd actually love if she would do a quick intro of how this idea came to her.
Sure. About a little less than 10 years ago, I was reading Mindy Kaling's autobiography, and she talked about writing the show with Brenda Withers in college. And I've always enjoyed Mindy Kaling's writing and her love of pop culture and her comedy. And so when I heard about this play of like, two girls playing Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, and it's kind of essentially a fun fanfic about their friendship and what it was like to be a boy in the 90s and stuff. And I just found it so hilarious. I immediately read it and was like, I have to do this play one day. I tried to do it in Chicago and it fell through. And I can now look back and say it's so good it did, because I was not prepared at that time. And then after working with Genevieve, we were sitting down at a coffee shop one day talking about just the kind of work we are hoping to be able to do and the kind of shows we want to do, and we both just want to be big, funny, crazy characters. And I was like, wait a minute, I have a show just for us. And it just kind of immediately snowballed into us going full force into producing this show.
Yeah, it was very quick, because we've been friends for a couple years now, and when we were talking about this, and Spring was like, so actually there's this show I've been wanting to do, and I had never even heard of it before, but I read it. I was like, yeah, let's do this. And honestly, we picked a date and then we just started getting to work. So it just kind of happened.
You're happy it didn't happen, but what held you back when you were trying to put it on in Chicago?
Younger, different place in my life, and it was one of those things that just, trying to find the space or things like that, like a lot of just random happenstance of life kind of made it trickier. Mm-hmm. And didn't end up happening. But now what's funny is what really inspired me as well to think, I think I could produce a play myself. I've done production in film, but I hadn't done in theater. But I ended up having a few friends, and my husband did some plays that were self-produced, and I kind of saw not how easy, because it isn't easy to produce a play by yourself, but just how doable almost. And I saw some great self-produced productions of shows of friends that I, really admire and stuff. And I was like, okay, wait, this actually seems something like I could do as well. And, a two-hander feels a lot easier. It's a lot less cast to work with and stuff. So it's just kind of like, hey, if the two actors are also producing together, it feels like it might run a little bit smoother.
Hmm. Do you feel like it may be, what would be like, I know you were a lot younger, but what would be the differences between trying to put on a show like this in a Chicago versus Los Angeles? Easier, harder, about the same?
I would say it could be about the same, but right now the thing that has made it easier here is I've just built a different, like a stronger community in terms of the theater world. Because for a while when I, started pursuing acting as a career right out of high school, I was focused mostly on film and television. And so then when I started getting back into theater, I didn't have a theater community the same way. Whereas now I've like ended up building a much stronger one here. And same with Genevieve, where we both have found that so many of our friends are so happy and willing to give us advice and help us with these things. And it has been a really lovely experience in that sense too, just to see the how much the community has come together.
And not just like the specifically theater community, but also the NoHo community has been a really cool resource. We've been, so I moved to LA like at the height of COVID, like 2020, everything had shut down. So I moved to NoHo and I've lived there ever since. And all I was hearing was how, oh, NoHo used to have such a thriving theater community. And by the time I got there, things had already kind of stopped being so thriving. So it's been really cool to feel like we're kind of part of bringing some of the theater back to NoHo, and then also incorporating, you know, like we're spending some time and working with a bar next door, Cantiki. We've been even just like where we're getting our, like where our things printed, we're using the local library. We're also using like NoHo copy and print, like all these local businesses and like local places. Like we feel like we're here, we're papering our neighborhoods because we both live in NoHo and the theater's in NoHo. So that's been a really cool experience as well.
So like this script, I mean, it's, I've never seen it, but I know of it. It's very well known because it was made really popular because of Mindy Kaling. It's one of the things that's mentioned when she was trying to break in and become a bigger name. It was one of the things that helped her on her ascent. And now she's already done the Mindy Project and Never Have I Ever. And she's continued to write, and she's a well-known writer at this point. It really was written at a certain time with a certain perspective and stuff like that. I guess my question, my deeper question is, after all this time, do the jokes, in your opinion, still resonate?
Yeah, I think it honestly holds up so well because, and I'm a girly who loves pop culture. I love, you know, it really just tells us about our culture. And so the jokes are so specific in a lot of ways to just the deep lore of the Ben Affleck and Matt Damon friendship. You can tell when you watch it how much research they've done in a really fun way. You know, it just seems like this was a hyper focus of them, of they really loved the friendship of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, and they wrote their own almost like fanfic about it. And that's something I really love, where honestly I think all the jokes pretty much hold up completely. Like there's a couple things that we've kind of added in or played up and making a little of our own, but for the most part, just the script is good, and it you can tell why it catapulted her career and Brenda Withers and stuff, because it really is just really spot on topical jokes about them at that time.
I was just gonna say it's also incredible that they wrote this in college. Like when I was in college, I couldn't write a decent 10-minute play, let alone an entire, you know, an entire like full length script. And with, again, the precision and the detail to the characters and to like the pop culture at the time, it's incredible.
So like, when it came to this, and there's already some very iconic performances for the script, when you guys came to prepare for this, did you guys want to do research on some of the original productions and performances? Do you want to avoid that stuff so you're not imitating on accident?
Well, so fun fact, we had there's like a published book of the play, and that was our first copy of it. I didn't realize, we realized after we got the rights and got the like actor's edition that the script is actually different from the published book of the play. And so when we were reading the book and like looking at our lines and stuff, we referenced, like there's a YouTube video of Mindy and Brenda's original performance. And we were kind of using it as more than anything, clarification and logistics, because some things in the script we were a little bit confused about, or like we're like, wait, that I thought that scene was longer. I thought that was shorter. Oh, that's what they meant by this. But in turn, as we were watching that performance and then getting, the actual actor's audition and re-memorizing our lines, we found that there was some really good inspiration in their performances as well. So we didn't like try to avoid that or anything. I think that for me, and Spring can speak to her for herself, but for me, I think it's more helpful to have as many references as possible, pick and choose what works for you, as opposed to avoiding everything, because people have different ideas that you can steal. Good artists steal, right?
Because I didn't watch, yeah, the stage production until this year. But so I had already had, when I first read the play, almost 10 years ago, like I had already had in mind how I would play Ben Affleck. And I was already kind of coming up with character choices and things in my mind. And it's one of those things that, funnily enough, like watching the original performance, I was like, oh, okay, we don't actually interpret it the exact same way, which is kind of fun.
It
But
is.
it was like really helpful for a lot of the technical stuff because it is a deceivingly technical production in a really fun way. But that is a little bit of the stuff that goes over my head as an actor. There's, I've
We're
like I said, I've pre
learning. We're learning.
Yeah, this is kind of the learning curve, and that's one of the reasons we want to do this too, of learning how to produce a show. But lights and sound are, God bless everyone who that's their job. I need them desperately. It's such an incredible skill. But so that was helpful to be able to see more of like, ah, oh, that's what they meant with that scene change. Okay, that makes sense. But character-wise, I think we both. There were things we definitely liked and saw, but I think when we first read it, we both kind of immediately already started thinking of our own versions of these characters. And I think there's definitely a lot of stuff that we have kind of added and embellished on that are, along with Max Downs, their director, and stuff, that we've just put our own sense of humor and comedy into. So it's kind of an amalgamation.
For sure.
So Genevieve, it could have been Matt, it could have been Ben, but you picked Matt. So why Matt instead of Ben?
I mean, I definitely saw myself, these characters are written so well that I think anyone could kind of see themselves in either character. But actually, when Spring kind of pitched this to me, we hadn't officially decided who would play what character yet. And Spring, if she had been wanting to play Ben, was kind of she, I didn't know that. I think she kind of wanted to see where I what I was thinking. And I read this and I'm like, I just Matt makes sense to me. He's neurotic. He's a perfectionist. He works really hard. He gets frustrated with people who don't work as hard as him. He also can be, think a little bit too highly of himself. So there's like the good and the bad there, but I have found myself multiple times in my life kind of in Matt's shoes to an extent. And it just really resonated with me.
The costuming or dressing up as your characters. Who's handling that stuff? Do you guys have a costumer? Are you guys doing all the work independently yourself?
Spring.
Oh, okay. Spring, what's your approach to costuming, makeup for the production this time around?
Like this is one of the reasons I also wanted to produce my own play and stuff. I love fashion, I love clothes, I love costuming, and I really love crazy attention to detail. And it's one of those things that when I watch a play, I or production, I can easily be taken out with inaccuracies. And just like little things of, you know, why is this person wearing this length dress when time period wise it would be this or something. It's something that I just really love and care about. So it's in my mind. So that was something when we, you know, the costumes are simple, but I just have been really adamant about I want everything to feel as time period specific, as 90s specific as possible. And even down to just, you know, I'm trying to Ben's character, you know, I wear a Adidas track suit, very similar to, you know, what he wears, what Ben Affleck wears as Chucky in Good Will Hunting. And
I was going to say,
but
it seems very Boston in
yes, it's very
that.
Boston, very Pak the Ka and Havoc Yad. Like, but I was like, okay, here's the thing though, it needs to be specific and trying to find track suits now. You know, there's a lot of jogger pants, and that is a style that wasn't popular back then. And it's and so no, I literally down to I found myself vintage 90s basketball shoes for my character because I just yeah, I really love when movies, television, any form of art, I love little details that most people wouldn't notice. And
Wait,
so it's it.
please tell me those sneakers have pumps on it. That would be the cherry on top, 'cause you can't find pumps anymore. That's so 90s.
These are yeah. They're, well, here's the funny thing. I have very small feet, so these are like child's basketball shoes,
Yeah.
because that's like all I could find. But yeah, no, they are like 1991 Fila's. It's and I'm not a basketball girly myself, but now I have them. And same with I made sure my track suit was from there, and we had to, you know, trying to find even Matt's character wears a white button up, but trying to find one that wasn't slim fit because that's what's popular now
Yeah.
is, you know, and we're scouring, but I was like, it can't be a slim fit because that's not what it was in the 90s. And there's so many things where I'm even for props looking to make sure that the labels and the logos are time period appropriate. And I've been scouring, you know, for concessions with beer to be like, what are the beers that the logos have changed the least since the 90s? Because
So,
I
what did you do at
want,
your party, Spring?
yeah, I was PBR only, baby, you know, and like we're and everyone because I just I kind of want it to feel as immersive as possible. I was kind of trained in theater to be to also as you rehearse you kind of rehearse in the rehearsal clothes, and so we have you know rehearsal pants because men's pockets are different than women's pockets, so to be able to start standing in a male body it's a lot easier when you have the clothing on too that puts you in that mindset because
And like it, oh, sorry.
yeah no I was just gonna yeah like wearing a dress and trying to be a bro is not as helpful as wearing a bunch of big baggy men's clothes and being able to kind of like get in that body and stuff.
And we are like, you know, the pockets, like we're
Oh
not
yeah.
just for stuff, but like it, where our hands rest as these characters. It having rehearsal pants and like as soon as I put them on, I was like, oh, that's how I should be
Yeah.
standing.
I was kind of raised in that mindset theater-wise of you rehearse in similar versions of what you're going to wear. And yeah, I didn't want anyone to sit in the audience and say, oh, that was a good show, but that's weird that he was wearing or that they were wearing something so modern. But I know the people who are like me who really care are going to be stoked. Like, and that's, yeah.
And there's also that nostalgia factor too. Like, if you're like,
Yeah.
oh, I remember that, like that logo or that thing, like there's, it's something really, it's really special.
Yeah, definitely. And if like, so my assumption is when you're trying to track up these craft these places, you're looking through thrift shop.
No,
Oh, God,
no, yeah, it's lots of thrift shops, some Facebook Marketplace, some cool like antique shops. It's Some of it is just using the library resources and printing like our own posters and stuff. Yeah,
it's certainly a lot.
We're both directors, though, so
yeah.
We're good at directing. Yeah, we love
I've been
a
able to explore some new shops that I've like never been to. So I'm like, well, I'm here, and it's instead of it just being for fun, I'm like, well, this is work. I have to go in. Oh well.
Between both of you, what would be like a scene that just makes you guys both crack up?
Okay, hold on. I'm going to say something and then. So we don't want to give too much away, but I will say this.
Sure.
We each have an opportunity to play in different characters. It's a show that breaks the fourth wall, and that is, you know, that's not a spoiler, but there's some fourth wall breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And, and so we each have a moment to play something other than Matt and Ben. And I think both of us have the time of our lives in those scenes, both as each other's scene partner. And like, I just love seeing Genevieve do her scene like that.
Yeah.
And
same
days. Yeah. Like I love being her scene partner. And I think there's a couple things that I'm just like, if this doesn't get a laugh every night, I'm rioting.
I actually have a I don't know if, I don't want to say too much either, but okay, we can cut it out later if we have to.
Sure.
When we are acting with the script that we have just discovered, Spring is playing not the best actor, and. Watching her, I cannot get through the scene without cracking up because she is so ridiculous. She does so many different things, and it's like in our rehearsals, especially right now, it's like completely different every time. I never know what to expect.
Yeah.
And so if you're someone that enjoys watching that kind of thing, this show is definitely for you.
For coming on the podcast, if you guys want to just tease where it's going to be at, I think I already mentioned a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Sherry Theater in North Hollywood. We open on July 31st and we run through September 5th, Friday and Saturday nights at 8 p.m. That's 6 weeks for anyone that is good at math.